today is Trinity Sunday and it's your lucky day. Today I'm going to unravel the mystery of the Godhead for you. I'm going to demystify this fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith and clear up any questions or confusion you may have about the nature of God. And if you believe I can do that, I have lovely lakeside property in the Sahara Desert to sell you. The fact is, any preacher or teacher that claims to have the biblical doctrine of the triune God all sewn up is delusional. For this magnificent doctrine about the threefold nature of God is simply too deep for the mind of finite, fallen, fallible human beings to fully apprehend, comprehend, or plumb. Having to do with the mystery of God, the majesty of God, and the inscrutability of God's divine being as one in three, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean, however, that there aren't things that can be known about God, and those are the very things expressed in and by the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet, for many Christians, this doctrine doesn't seem to be of much interest or concern. Either they don't see its relevance for their daily life, or they think it's so far over their head that they don't want to be bothered grappling with it. Others have the attitude that doctrine divides, and therefore should be avoided at all costs in the name of religious tolerance. But are Christians at liberty to simply ignore doctrine? 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says that those who are uninterested in doctrine will eventually turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. To ignore sound doctrine is to put ourselves at great spiritual risk. Which doesn't mean every Christian must earn their PhD in theology, but every Christian does owe it to God, to themselves, to their fellow Christians, and to everyone with whom they're going to share the gospel, to at least know the fundamentals of our Christian faith, and the most fundamental doctrine of all, the doctrine of the Trinity. A doctrine that does indeed divide. It divides truth from error, fact from fiction, and the real from the counterfeit. This division is necessary for the sake of knowing, believing, and telling the truth about God. Wrong doctrine will inevitably lead to wrong thinking, which in turn leads Christians who are not well-versed and well-grounded in the teachings of the Bible and Orthodox Christianity to embrace distortions of the truth and to accept falsehoods as the truth. That spells big trouble for a lost and dying world that's desperately in need of truth. The truth of 1 Timothy 2:5, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for all. And the truth of Acts 4:12, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. In John 4:24, Jesus himself said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. To worship God in spirit and truth is to understand what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why it's imperative that Christians know sound doctrine, follow sound doctrine, believe sound doctrine, and teach sound doctrine. First, so we might rightly honor and worship God, as triune. And then so we can be faithful witnesses to him as the one true and only God, in all of his divine mystery, majesty, and inscrutability. This knowledge of God is not gained by human reason, but by God's own self-revelation. We don't have any knowledge of God by our intuition, but by his incarnation. And while the doctrine of the Trinity is not explicitly found in the pages of the Bible, it is implicitly found in its pages, as seen in passages like 1 John 4, 10 and 13, which says, "This is love, not that we loved God," here and following, meaning God the Father, "but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for sins. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit." And Colossians, the first chapter, "The Son is the image of the invisible God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him in bodily form, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." In John 14:26, Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Finally, by way of an example, is 1 John chapter 5, which proclaims, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Get the doctrine about the triune nature and being of God wrong, like the Mormons and Unitarians and Jehovah's Witnesses, and error and deception follows. Get it right, and you will find the wisdom from above, a trustworthy guide for your faith and life. Even more important, however, than knowing what the Bible teaches about the triune God is believing in the triune God. That's because faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or lack thereof, is a matter of life and death, of eternal life and death. That's why we don't put our trust for our salvation in a doctrine about God, but we put our trust in the person about whom that doctrine bears witness, the triune God, who is personal. Not some sort of cosmic principle or impersonal force like Star Wars, but a holy, self-existent being who created the heavens and the earth, who sustains all things by the word of his mouth and the power of his might, who delights to make himself known as a loving Father and Creator, who became a man in his only begotten Son so that the sins of all those who believe in him might be forgiven and their souls saved, and the God who by the Holy Spirit graciously turns unbelievers into believers, pagans into Christians, the spiritually dead into living disciples, and who applies the benefits of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to all those who place their faith in Him. This may seem pretty heady stuff, pretty academic, pretty beyond our everyday reality. But is it really? After all, who doesn't need a God who, as a loving Father, sent His only begotten Son into our lost and dying world so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Who doesn't need a Son of God who is our sinless, self-sacrificing Savior, who died that our sins might be forgiven? Who doesn't long for the security and peace of having a relationship with the God who makes us a people uniquely His own through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who takes up residence in our hearts in order to make us new people, not just better people? The God who made and fashioned us in our mother's womb, who assures us that we are His beloved children, in spite of our mistakes and missteps and faults and failures and selfishness and sins, the God who loved us enough to become a man and to place the entire brunt and weight of His wrath against sin, our sin, on His Son, the sinless Savior who on the cross crushed and conquered Satan's power to crush and conquer us. The God who loves us enough that He will never reject, despise, or forsake us, but who lives in us by the Spirit so that we are never alone, never forsaken, never left to fend for ourselves in the world, never without hope, but indwelt by the living presence of the living God living inside of us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When our heart, mind, and soul is touched by that God, the one God, the true God, the only God, the triune God, nothing will ever be the same in our life. Nothing. Ever. For we will have the eternal assurance of an eternal inheritance in the eternal kingdom of God, whose doors have been opened wide to us by the Father who owns the kingdom, the Son who rules the kingdom, and by the Holy Spirit who fills the kingdom with forgiven sinners whom He has brought to faith and repentance in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine of the Trinity, the mystery and inscrutability of an eternal, loving, self-existent being, the majesty of the God who became a man and dwelt among us to save us from ourselves, our sin, and from His own wrath and judgment to come, and the might of God the Holy Spirit to make sinful people forgiven people, weak people strong people, cowardly people courageous people, shy people bold people, strong, bold and courageous people who confidently believe and confess the Trinitarian doctrine of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that God is one in three, three in one, and who bow before the mystery, majesty, and inscrutability of God's divine and triune being, joyfully singing praises to the Lord. Yes, forever singing praise to the Lord the Almighty. Amen.
Praise to the Lord.